people always ask me if I'm upset or mad or sad. They say I have this certain look on my face, and I'm not even aware that I'm doing it. This is my friend KC, who always pushes on my forehead to point out how much I'm furrowing my brow or making the face.
I think it makes you, I don't want to say unattractive, but you've got a question mark in the middle of your head.
I imagine that this is the look I had on my face the day I met Reverend Marie Sims. I'm going to tell you a story about her, but I really hate it, because it's embarrassing and it makes me look like a stupid, naive kid. But I guess in many ways I was, so here it goes. It was my second visit to this church in the north suburbs. My extremely pious great-grandmother had just passed away, and I felt like I owed it to her to find a church and receive God into my life. Reverend Sims was at the service that morning. She was the first female pastor I had ever encountered, and I was impressed. I had gone down near the pulpit for special prayer, and she was there to receive me. She seemed to notice that I was in some kind of distress. Actually, that day, my usual not unattractive look was kind of a grimace. My slip was falling down. It had already fallen down in the parking lot, and as I walked down to the pulpit, I felt it happening again. That's probably what Reverend Sims saw. So she asked me if I was okay, and if I wanted to talk after the service. I said all right. I ended up crying in her office that day. I told her that I was in a lot of pain because of my great-grandmother's death. But that was only something to pin it on, because I didn't know what the pain was, only that I wanted someone to fix it. At that time, I was going through a lot of stuff. I was skipping school, cutting myself. I'd been diagnosed as clinically depressed, and I was in treatment. Basically, my problem was I felt like crap all the time. I couldn't understand myself. I didn't know who I was. I was looking for someone to be my guiding light, and Reverend Sims was a perfect fit. I started meeting with Reverend Sims a lot. She took me around the church, introducing me as her newly adopted daughter. We talked in her office, on the phone, over email. I was always asking her questions. What I should do about this, what I should do about that. She gave me advice, and everything she said, I took as gospel. I would want those conversations to go on and on and on and not have them end, because when they were over, I'd be left feeling empty again. Reverend Sims put me in a higher place for once. Fast forward to 11 months later, I hated this woman. Well, actually, I loved her, but I hated how she changed. For some reason, I wasn't her special adopted daughter anymore. She stopped returning my calls and my emails. At one point, I got up the courage to ask her what happened, and she said she felt my expectations of her were too great. She actually asked me, "What do you expect of me?" In my mind, I was like, "Everything you've led me to expect." Inside, I knew what had really happened. She realized what she was dealing with, that I had some serious issues, so she dropped me. It got to the point where I didn't care what she said to me, as long as it was something. So I wrote her this email telling her exactly how I felt, basically that she sucked. But after hitting that send button, I thought about it. Maybe that email wasn't such a good idea. I mean, she could show it to anyone. I had to get it back. She used a public email server, so I could access it from my computer. I tried to guess her password, but to no avail. I had another idea. I clicked on Forgot Password, and the screen came up with a series of questions. This is too easy, I thought. Birthday, July 24th. I didn't know the year. I could guess, though. I got it on the second try, 1959. Zip code. I just had to look up her address for that. Country, United States. Username. That was the easiest one of all. I clicked submit. But the next screen wasn't her password. It was the secret question. What is the name of your elementary school? I didn't know. But you could find anything on the internet. I knew her hometown. That's all I need. I found a list of elementary schools in her county and tried them alphabetically. The second on the list was the one. I was in. I looked at the inbox and I saw that the email I wanted back had already been read and had also been forwarded to a woman named Jane Butler. Reverend Sims wrote, "I just got back into town and look what I have to deal with." Jane Butler's reply was, "This is sad. Sad, sad, sad. What are you going to do?" I was livid. She didn't deserve to have any of my emails, but I didn't want it to look suspicious, so I took them all. I selected every email on the first page and hesitantly hit the delete button. Then I went to the next page, no hesitation this time. I got a rhythm going. Click, click, gone. Click, click, gone. I bid each page of emails adieu with a gleeful, "See ya." Now I was in control, not her. Before I signed off, I sent an email to Reverend Sims from her very own inbox, and I got an immediate reply. She was in the email account at the same time that I was. I played with her, knowing that she didn't know who I was. I told her that she better watch out because I was writing to everyone in her address book. To throw her off, I even wrote to myself. Then I signed off and laughed my head off about it all. But 3 weeks later, my mother told me the incident had been traced to our IP address. I denied it at first, but I knew I couldn't lie to my parents forever. I was so paranoid, I was sick to my stomach. I confessed. Soon, I found myself face to face with the state's attorney. I was informed that I would be tried as an adult, that my actions were criminal, and that I faced 3 to 5 years of jail time because of it. The state's attorney told me that he could take me over to the jail across the street right then and there if he wanted to. So that was it. I was low enough to go to prison. Ultimately, it turned out that Reverend Sims didn't press charges. So this was just a warning, and I was free to go. I had been looking for who I was, and never expected to find that I was a criminal. Back before I went to the church, I thought of myself mostly as this depressed person. That's what defined me. Then when I met Reverend Sims, I used her to define who I was. Special, smart, talented. People still always ask if I'm okay, why I have this sad look. They assume that I'm unhappy. I don't want to talk about that, but I will say that I now know who I am. It always changes. This day I'm something, the next I'm something else. But I have one source for all my answers. And that source is why I should have been at the church to begin with. Maybe that sounds simple. But for me, that's that, and that's how it is.